Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. Thanks for tuning in, hanging out with us. We appreciate all of you. A lopsided loss for the orange, as they clearly are not in the same league as Duke this time around. Duke with the 79-59 win at home. Syracuse drops below 500 once again, 9-10, 3-5 in the ACC. You'll hear from us and we'll hear from you in fan feedback in a rematch with Pitt as they look for revenge this Tuesday, the 25th, at Panthers. Game is set up for 8 p.m. on ACC Network. We'll let you know what we think about that. But first, before we get started, some football news on the transfer portal front. CJ Hayes is coming from Michigan State, grad transfer, listed at 6'2", 205, according to the Spartans website. He had some very limited wide receiver action in 3 years, 14 catches with 154 yards. He was moved to safety last season, saw mostly special teams action. He has an opportunity to come here for Syracuse, put on an orange uniform, and see if he's got what it takes to make a difference. Last year, obviously, we know the struggles, and the receiving core, the guys are there, but, you know, we could use some talent, and I guess we'll just have to see, you know, how good he is. I'm just worried, Joe, about the, this is good. This is good news, but 14 catches, 154 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't really had a lot to, as far as receiver goes in Michigan State. But he has, you know, last year they changed him to a safety. He played some special teams and stuff like that. And he's kind of been around. He's physically can handle it. It's just whether or not he's got.
Yeah, he's good size.
You know, the talent, totally. That receiver, right? So, if nothing else, he comes in and brings some experience to the wide receiver room, gives us maybe a last ditch, you know, safety if we have too many injuries. And who knows, you know, he wanted to transfer somewhere where they were going to give him a shot playing receiver. And yeah, if he can find a little niche and if he's good at run blocking, because I know that we plan on running the ball a decent amount next year, then maybe he can, find a little spot or, you know, on the offense or in a nice little role. So, again, just bringing, you know, a little bit more depth experience and at worst, a guy that can go out there and give us some good special teams play. But, he was recruited by Michigan State, so he had to have some type of talent.
Right, man. We'll just have to see. Good size, like you said, 205, 6'2". It's pretty it's a big boy. So, for at wide receiver.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's get into this one. I know everybody's on the edge of their seats waiting to listen to us here talk about the Syracuse-Duke game that was yesterday. And it was pretty much all it was advertised as, I think, and then some. So, anyways, let's take a listen to what Coach had to say after the game.
You know, we got off to a really bad start, and then we played pretty well for a good period of time. And then we, I thought we had, they're very good defensively, and they made us take some hard shots, but we had some good open looks. in the first half for 2 for 16. We have to make some of those shots. This is the first game in the league that we just haven't been there. And, you know, Duke's very good. But at the end of the day, we have to make some of those shots. And we just couldn't. And that, I think that was the difference. They're a really good team. If we make some shots, we can keep it much closer. But they're good. They played well. Baker came in and gave them some threes. They're just better than us today, for sure. You know, Buddy got to the shots. He's been played that way all year, and you know, by big guys. And he's able usually to get to his spot, and wasn't able to. And then when he got some looks, he just couldn't make. Well, they're hard to defend, the two big guys. But we let Griffin go early. He was the guy we wanted to play, and we didn't guard him. He got two open looks to start the game, and that's just not it's inexcusable. We know they're going to get some stuff inside. We can live with that. We can't give them 14 threes. I really thought after the Griffin's first two, we defended the line pretty well. We kept him from getting a lot more looks, and then right at the end of the first half, he got two more. But you know, somebody's going to shoot. You're going to let somebody shoot some threes. But I thought we were okay inside with Banchero. I thought we were pretty good with him for the first half. I think he had four at halftime. Our offense beat us in the first half. It was just, you know, we have to score. We have to be able to put points up. And, you know, we just weren't able to.
Coach, going forward, when you know you're going to play a team as physical and fast as Duke is, how can you better prepare for that style of both offense and defense?
Well, first of all, Clemson and Pittsburgh, who we just played, are as physical as anybody that we've played this year. Virginia's as physical as anybody we played this year. That wasn't the issue. Physicality, it's a physical league. Everybody in this league is pretty physical. And, you know, you just have to be able to play through that. And tonight, again, defense was good. They're physical. We got 10 threes in the first half that we normally make. We shoot 38% from three for the year. But on those 10 shots that we got, they were good threes. They were good looks, you know, really good looks. We have to make some of those to compete. And, you know, we'll go right back to Pittsburgh Tuesday, and they're a physical team. So we have to be prepared for that. And we are.
And the buzzing, that was the feed. I don't know what the hell was up with that. I'm sorry about that. But that was there because that's how I record it. Okay, today's episode of the Cuse Militia is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on socials. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram, type at sportsdrink, spelled sportsdrink without the vowels. So S-P-R-T-S-D-R-N-K. They have a number of podcasts like ours, professional sports, and other college teams. If you are interested, go check them out. Okay, off the top, not a good start. An understatement by coach there. Four turnovers in the first five possessions for Syracuse. 2 for 16 from three at the half. I think Duke was 7 for 15 at the half. And Syracuse overall for the whole game, Joe, shot 36%. And, you know, you take some of those threes at the end of the day, it was 5 for 29. I mean, it's 17%. You know, it's not like Syracuse. They had plenty of open looks. I feel like they just weren't falling. And, you know, as right when we get on the, well, I'm not too worried about Syracuse scoring. I mean, maybe a little bit with Duke's defense, but they can score. Their offense is pretty decent, but, you know, getting stops is going to be important. Well, they couldn't do either, and it was bad.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what we've seen with teams that have good scoring. I mean, it's Duke, right? We know that Duke's got one of those things where, I mean, they're probably a favorite, if not, to me, at least definitely a Final Four favorite, right? So, I mean, we're talking about a team that, especially when they're shooting like that and they're on, you know, rolling on all cylinders. I mean, they got guys that, you know, are bigger, taller, and can still move as fast as guys, you know, 2, 3, 4 inches that are on other teams, which is why, you know, Buddy and some other guys, you know, just had difficulty. They can switch pretty much with everybody, and they made our life on offense hell. And it's, we've proven that just because we have a good offense statistically or analytically, when we play teams that have defenses basically in the top, you know, 30, 40, 50, then we struggle. Some teams we do better at, but I mean, we struggle to get out of 60 sometimes, you know. I mean, we won a game, what, 63-60 against Florida State, you know, Duke, when we didn't even get to 60. So, we shot really, really bad, and they shot really, really good. I mean, you spoke about the three-pointers, 5 of 29. The big three, you know, big three three-pointers of Joe Girard and
Joe, Buddy, and Cole.
I'm not even talking. Oh, yeah, Joe, Buddy, and Cole, they went 3 of 25.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
12%. That's
just, yes, that's unacceptable, right? Yeah. So it's just one of those things where, we shoot like that, then it is going to be a problem. And realistically, if the roles were reversed and Duke was shooting poorly, and then they would have probably gone and done different things other than shoot the three and still probably scored. And if we shot like Duke, then we'd still be a close game. I mean, that's just, they're that much better of a team than us, you know, athletically, strength wise, and just talent wise. They need to play a really, really bad game. And we need to play a really, really good game to have a chance to even being close to beating this team.
Yeah.
And they had one of their starters out.
Yeah. And you mentioned the 3 of 25 from three, but they had 9 of 48 from the floor, period. For a total of 25 points between all of them. Some, you know, there's foul shots in there. But yeah. I'm just saying.
And I know that Duke's defense made it tough on them for some of them. But I'll tell you what. We definitely had some open ones we should have hit. And there was definitely some, like, fast, bad shots. I mean, I know that's kind of sometimes what we do, and sometimes we make them.
At one point, they were just, it looked like they were just hucking them up.
Mm-hmm.
Desperation, like, just seeing
hoping
if something would fall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just not good. It was not good. And
Wendell Moore is he's an NBA defender. He's an NBA defender out there playing against Buddy Boeheim. And they got some grown men guys. I mean, Banchero, he's going to be probably the number one overall pick. He's definitely going to be a lottery pick. Mark Williams is going to the NBA. I mean, this team is really, really talented. So, you know, the coach was right. We played close. You know, we played them single digits. You know, I mean, we kind of weathered the storm in the beginning, got down early, came back, got it within single digits. We got within one. Then around, you know, the 5 minutes to go in the first half mark, they ended up taking it and busting it open to a 14-point lead going into half, and then, you know, we came back and we just didn't look back. You know, nothing changed in the second half, and we kept missing shots, and, you know, it's just, some of it was unlucky, and some of it was just Duke's defense.
Buddy with 7 points, as we mentioned. He you know, he, to your point, as I'm just going through the montage here, which was next, is that Buddy, Joe, and Cole all were not good on offense. And while I know, you know, the majority of our problem is defense, you got to have two of those three play a pretty decent game to even contend here. And to contend, honestly, most of the time, I think, in the ACC right now. So, you know, for all three of them to kind of struggle, that's, I mean, you could see it right from the beginning. And sometimes you think, well, one of these guys is going to get going, okay? And it's probably going to be Buddy or Joe. And it just never happened. And, you know, as far as, like, the turnovers and stuff go, I thought that it was going to be worse. Syracuse only with 10 turnovers to Duke's 15. It started off with four. Started off the game the first couple minutes with four. Joe was like, what, two? It was under 3 minutes where they turned the ball over four times. So
yeah,
it was on track to be catastrophic in the turnover battle, but, you know, it ended up not being terrible, below their average. But you got to hit shots. And they let Griffin, Allen's little brother there, younger brother, who is, gosh, man, I mean, how awesome would it be to have gotten that? Just a talented kid, man. He goes, I think he definitely went 2 for 2, but I think he might have went 3 for 3. His first three, it was just two were like back to back.
Yeah, from the beginning, yeah.
Yeah. So, and they left him wide open. I mean, they left him wide open from the first two. It was like, you know.
They just have so many dangerous weapons, and you saw it throughout the game. You saw Wendell Moore hitting threes and Roach hitting threes, Williams catching dunks, Banchero doing a little bit of everything. On top of Griffin hitting threes, and then Joey Baker came off the bench and hit a couple threes. So everybody was in, was you know, piling up in on it and getting their points. And, you know, like I said, when Duke plays like that, it's going to be tough for anyone in the country to beat them, let alone us.
And, you know, Duke's beatable. I mean, you know, they any team can win, I think, in the SEC, except for Pitt. But I mean, even they have their days. We'll talk about them. But if anyone's struggling, it's going to be them, Boston College, etc. But Duke, I think either Syracuse is going to get crushed or they could contend. I thought they would contend a little bit better yesterday, and I guess I was just a little hopeful. I didn't think by any means it was going to be a win. It was pretty much what I thought it was going to be, but you could just see it in them when there's like 10 minutes left and I'm going, my gosh, there's 10 minutes left of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you're like,
no, fully knowing that we weren't going to come back.
Oh yeah.
Even if we started like, in threes.
Yeah. So. It's like, we just hold the ball. I mean, right. I just slow the game all the way down.
Yeah. And, I mean, even like Cole Swider started doing, you know, his Cole Swider thing, getting him, he's finally hitting shots in garbage time when it doesn't matter to give himself double digit points.
His Cole Swider thing. Yeah, it's got to be better than that, man. It's got to be better than that. And, you know, Syracuse in their five ACC losses, it was all of those losses were 5 points or less. And if I remember right, they in all nine of their losses coming into this game was 3.5 points on average we lost by. Well, we got crushed yesterday, and it was just Syracuse caught with their pants down, and I don't know, there's really nothing else to analyze there. So, with that said, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, and just so that, you know, let you know, Cole Swider, yeah, he hit 5 of his 11 points with under 4 minutes to go when we were losing by 30.
Yeah, I think got up to 31 at one point.
Yeah, it was 31, and then he hit a two-pointer, and then they ended up getting a steal, and he came down and hit a three real quick. It was bang, bang. He had 5 points in 25 seconds, 30 seconds. So that's what I meant when I said the Cole Swider thing. Look,
well, he's done that before. He did that before.
Yeah, Duke is a different beast in the ACC, and that's really the difference. They really, really got to have a bad day for us to even be in that game. So I thought it was going to be a little bit closer as well, to your point, and I figured Duke would end up, you know, pulling away and winning by double digits later in the game. I thought we were going to play, you know, probably another 15 stronger minutes and maybe play it close to about halfway through the second half before that whole thing happened. But.
Well, they got within one early, and you're thinking, okay, all right, we'll settle in and just hit some shots now, okay? It was a lot of missed opportunities for Syracuse to start the game because Duke honestly wasn't hitting a whole lot either in the beginning of the game.
I mean, they took a 16-6 lead or 4-16 lead or something like that. And I know in the beginning we had 4 turnovers to 2 shots that we put up or attempted. So, I mean, we were really, really slow in the beginning. And again, turnovers bit us. I think we got out rebounded pretty badly. Yeah, by 10.
Yeah,
9 or 10, whichever, wherever you look. But at the end of the day, like I said, they're just a different beast. And especially when they shoot threes like that, because they don't shoot threes like that. And when they're hitting threes like that, I mean, Griffin does, but most of the other teams doesn't. So when they're hitting threes like that, then, like I said, it's you know, hard pressed to find anybody in the country that's going to be able to beat them.
Yep. All right. The fan feedback, Swain. Let's hear what you guys had to say after the game.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the loud house.
All right, you guys know what to do at the end of every game. Regardless, win, lose, or tie, I ask for, well, there wouldn't be a tie in basketball, right? I will ask for your thoughts on said game. You leave them, we talk about them here. Look, it was not fun to watch. Look, I watched the whole thing, and the only reason I watched the whole thing is because I come here to do the show. And I got to tell you, I'd rather been shoveling snow.
snoveling I don't even know if that's a word, but I'd rather be doing that.
I'd rather been shoveling snow. We got, what'd you get, Joe? We got about probably 6-8 inches. I'd say probably close to 8 inches.
We got two to three.
That's it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, look, I go out there with the electric snowblower and crush it while everybody else has got, you know, spade shovels and whatnot out there.
Yeah, so. I don't own a shovel.
You don't own a shovel?
No need.
A shovel. What do you mean no need?
There's no need for a snow shovel. Sorry. I don't own a snow shovel or any utensils or tools. Huh?
Oh, well, you say that until you get 8 inches of snow one time. You're like, oh, shit, I wish I had a snow shovel.
The one time in what?
I bought an electric snowblower.
Been here down here for like seven years.
Okay, well, the last time it snowed here was 7 years ago. So, but I bought an electric snowblower probably about 8 years ago, and I've used it twice. But I'll tell you what, coming handy them two times, okay? So, look, just because you don't have one doesn't mean you got to be all nasty and ugly about it. Okay?
I have one.
Okay, whatever. Look, let's turn to Facebook, okay? All right, well, Joe's in one of his moods right now.
No, here we go.
Chris on Facebook, the players just don't mesh. It's a decent group that are skilled but lack athleticism. Buddy isn't a go-to guy. None of them are in a half-court set. Edwards is probably the best option. Look, obviously Edwards just not strong enough yesterday, but not terrible. Not terrible, but, you know. Edwards is a talented guy. They got to work Edwards as much as they possibly can. It's tough, you know, against teams like Duke. But how about Samir Torrence, which there was nothing in fan feedback about Cy, and there was nothing in the presser about Cy. So we would be remiss if we did not mention his 24 minutes. I mean, like, I'm ready to see this dude get a starting spot. I mean, I'm just that's me. What's the difference?
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, I guess I'll use this time to make the argument that I was going to say, because I'm starting to see a trend here. And, you know, I know that there's been rumors, but that there was, it was too clicky last year. And maybe some of the, you know, a lot of the people that left were because, you know, whether it was players thought they should be playing more or they didn't get along, or it was some type of, I don't know what.
Personality conflicts.
Personality clash, whatever. But I think more and more, and now actually after I looked at some stats and took a little bit of a deep dive, I'm kind of on the board of, I mean, right now, yes, definitely defense is one of our biggest issues, 100%.
It just adds the energy, though, too, just plain and simple energy.
Right, but I think that, you know, our second problem overall is the fact that we don't have a natural point guard, a natural kind of leader out there. I think that Buddy can be the guy, but, I mean, you can't have somebody that's so inconsistent, you know, and, you know, the scoring point guard that has to be like hitting shots to get going, and he's so up and he's so down, and a lot of your offense relies on whether or not he's going to, you know, play. And it's just, I'm kind of, last year we talked about, you know, how we thought Kadari should play because he was more of a natural point guard, and then, you know, you either go small or you have Joe come off the bench like a little shooting guard spark or whatever. And after looking at some stats, I mean, I'm kind of there. And after seeing Samir, and yes, he doesn't help in the scoring as far as shooting wise, but he can take it to the hole.
Though.
He can finish, and it's the assist to turnovers, and that was what I was going to look at.
None.
Now, obviously, there's a situation where, you know, Joe Girard's played a boatload more minutes and in different periods and times and stuff. So obviously there's a little bit of inaccuracies in this, but I think it's a situation where it kind of speaks volumes, right? So Joe Girard's played 638 minutes to Torrance's 237. But when you look at their assists and their turnovers and everything like that, you know, I looked at the stats, did some math. Samir Torrance averages an assist every 4 minutes that he plays. Joe Girard averages an assist every 8 minutes that he plays.
How many turnovers?
And then when you look at turnovers, Joe Girard averages a turnover basically every 11 minutes that he plays, and Samir averages a turnover about every 14 and a half minutes that he plays.
So a better ball handler.
But so when you look at it, better ball handler, and you look at his passes the last couple of games, he's played less minutes and had more assists and less turnovers. And when you look at, you know, obviously the smaller sample size, it looks to me like we just have a more natural point guard that can drive and make plays. He's had some good passes that have gotten people good finishes around the hoop, and he's actually been able to drive and finish. And I think he gives us that athleticism and speed in the front of the 2-3 zone, just like Kadari did last year. So at the end of the day, I mean, like I said, I'm not a coach. I don't get paid to coach. But, I mean, I'm looking with eyeballs and looking with math, and it just looks to me like it's another year where we have somebody else that's in a better position to be an actual natural point guard, you know, and not to say that you can't spread the minutes, you know, 25, 25, 20, you know, whatever, because you can go small, and Joe still can come in and play point guard when Cy needs rest. But to me, I think he helps the team a little bit more and balances out a little bit more of that offense, defense type stuff. And again, I'm not a coach, but I'm just looking at numbers and doing a little bit of math and using my eyeballs. And I just think that I've seen more consistency from him in the minutes that he has played versus Joe.
Well, obviously yesterday the game got away from us. It didn't really, at the end of the day, matter who was playing. But while Cy was in there, I just felt like he was doing exactly the things that we're kind of missing. And, right. And you know, six assists, no turnovers. He had a couple boards and 4 points. He's not going to light it up offensively, but he does give you a little bit different dynamic when it comes to these more aggressive defenses. And also, you know, Joe is just not a bringing the ball up kind of guy. I mean, I thought he could develop into that role last year through, you know, this wishful thinking, you know, I mean.
Right. I mean, dude, he does the best that he can.
He does, but it's just not.
Cole Sweater got ripped pretty bad yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, he's another guy that I'm kind of down on. His stock is going down with me.
Which is why there's room for Cy. I mean, because.
Which is why there's room for Cy, but also this is why there's room for Benny.
There's room for Benny.
Cole Sweater, he played 26 minutes. Jimmy played, 34? And they both had, three rebounds each? Benny played 7 minutes, had two. And, again, that type of length. And I did see him out of position. And, you know, he does look lost sometimes on defense.
He gave up a couple
easy buckets, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, you need to be able to switch it up and get different things going. But, again, like I said, I knew that it was out. You know, it was a long shot yesterday. But Cy did look good. I hope he's all right. You know, and he got hurt and you know, he had to leave the game, so I hope that he's fine for next game. But, you know, it's just one of those things. You even look at fans. Like, I talked to your brother unbiasedly, right? Because we've always been able to talk back and forth. Him as a Duke fan living in Syracuse, you know, whatever. Yeah. But he's even said he doesn't think that Joe Girard's a bad player, right? He just thinks that we're using them wrong or using him wrong. He's like, you got a shooting guard in a point guard's body. But he could play shooting guard in college, and you're not putting him there. And again, he's not a coach either. But you know, I mean, Joe Girard, he got, I believe he got recruited by Duke as well.
He did.
If you think Duke was recruiting him to be anything other than coming off the bench and being a shooting guard and a shooter until maybe he was good enough to start after a couple years or whatever, then you're sadly mistaken. I mean, I don't think Duke was recruiting him to go there and be point guard. So. Sometimes it's just tough because you see certain things like this. And again, it's not to slight Joe and say that he can't have a role on the team. We still need him to score. We still need his energy. We still need him to to get in there and put it 20-plus minutes up there.
They could be on the floor at the same time, too. I mean, you could switch Buddy to the three very easily and just use all three of them at the same time. That's what I'm saying with sometimes the way that Cole is. And sometimes, honestly, I mean, and I know a lot of people feel the same way, with Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy, he has, like, massive brain farts, too. He can get yanked. I mean, it just gives you the option. Like, look, okay, let's freaking not... you know, like, Coach doesn't have to tolerate that stuff, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what
and I mean? That is true. I mean, that's a situation where you could probably maybe start Joe, see how he's going, and then, you know, if Joe is struggling or if one of the forwards are struggling, like Cole or Jimmy, then you can sub in Cy real quick. And I think that that's definitely something that we're going to start seeing. And, like, again, I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see. I know that the game was getting away from us and he probably played more minutes because of that, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's up north to 20 minutes playing half the game.
But not a lot of talk about it.
No.
I think Noah on Twitter, he definitely mentioned it, but other than him and me, I didn't see it really on Twitter that much. I don't think. I could be wrong, but when I scroll, it's very limited too. So, but there was nothing in fan feedback about it, so I had made a note here. I figured we'd bring it up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Jake on Facebook says wet fart. Yes, if there was a game that was a wet fart, that was a wet fart. For sure. Whoopsie. Nate on Facebook. Some games are worse than others. Hopefully going forward, none are worse than this one. Not making shots was a real killer. Defense was not active enough to handle all of Duke's weapons. Yeah, look, you're going to have a worst game, okay? Looking back on ACC play and you're like, man, okay, The Miami game, we should have had that, up by 18. By the way, Miami came back down 26 to Florida State and lost by one yesterday.
They had a shot. They had a shot to win the game.
I believe it was Wong that had it, too. And so you look at that game, and you're like, man, that could have been a good quad one win. And then, you know, even the Florida State game that we just lost, you're like, it's just like, just those couple little games, those couple games like that that got away from us, obviously. What was the one earlier? Cornell, right? So, you know, obviously that's a killer. But you look at those three games and you can say, man, you know, you're going to have a bad game. Okay, it's Duke. I get it. But if you have those three, in just even the two ACC ones, okay? Because let's just be honest, Cornell's, that stuff happens. But you took a look at the two ACC games, and you're feeling a little bit different right now, I think. That's all. That's my point. Nadal on Facebook, huh?
I mean, no, it's just, it's, well, there's a positive and a negative about it, right? Obviously, there's always those chances. Like, but, I mean, if anybody thought going into, you could be upset, but, I mean, I was 99.5% chance that we were going to lose this game.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Barring them, right? So this
is a good test, though, and to see how you play and see how that, see how they respond to a team with of Duke caliber. To see, but all in all, like it was, like everything was bad. Like the response.
I mean, you're coming off a situation where, like, you're going to Cameron after they lost a game. You know what I mean? They're coming back all pissed off, and you knew that we were going to get their best. And, you know, we play them twice this year. So this gives us something to where, you know, we've seen them, you know, all duped. All that is a quad one opportunity, not expected to win. And, you know, if you do get blown out like this, albeit very embarrassing, it's just, yeah, it's Duke. No one expected us to do this. Let's just hope it doesn't, you know, kill us and affect us, you know, in the next game. And let's see how we can play them when they come to the Dome in February.
Nadal on Facebook, tough game. We competed until they missed, until the misses took their toll psychologically. Time to look at the future. Torrance, Jesse, and the new recruits coming in next year. Jimmy should move on. Okay, so I want to focus on the Jimmy thing. We know he's trying to come back, Joe. Look, it was a tough game. At one point, we just mentioned that they were just chucking up threes, man. It was desperation stuff. It didn't matter. The recruiting class coming in looks good, but if Jimmy came back, that could hamper some of that action. I don't know, Joe, if Jimmy coming back is a, like, I feel like he's gonna come back, but is it the best option for Syracuse right now to have Jimmy coming back? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to knock the dude. I'm just saying, I think I want to see a little bit of freshness.
We just have too many of the same type of players right now.
Exactly.
That's
if
we lose Buddy and we lose Cole, then I don't think him coming back
is a big deal. Right.
But then at the same time, now you're talking about Benny with a couple other forwards that are coming in, and there's going to be a little bit of a, you know, pushback type thing. But I mean, maybe this is basically based off of the progression of Benny Williams, and maybe this is just the coaching staff a little bit nervous of maybe having to rely on their two wings next year being Benny Williams and two brand new people. So in reality, getting him back, I don't think necessarily would be the worst thing. You know, again, you just worry about how the recruits feel about minutes getting taken away,
yeah,
and whether or not, you know, it's going to be another season of just a bunch of guys sitting on the bench and not being able to, you know, progress. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, he gives them chances when they supposedly play good in practice. And, you know, I feel like if Benny Williams progressed enough, then I feel like he'd be out there more. So, again, I want to see him, but every time I see him out there, he looks lost, and then it just reinforces in my brain why Jimmy and Cole are playing.
That one's clear. I mean, the Benny thing's clear.
If you lose Cole and you lose Jimmy and you lose Buddy, the next year we have to replace both of our wings. Do you want that to be Benny Williams and the two true freshman forwards that are coming in?
Look, I mean, anything can happen. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Of course, I wouldn't want all three of those guys to go. But when you look at what Jesse did from last year to this year, I mean, we didn't expect, none of us expected Jesse to be what he is this year. I mean,
it's true.
I mean, anything can happen. Sometimes it just clicks. I mean, the one thing that Jesse needs to work on that I don't know if it can be fixed or not is that this just weak with the ball. I mean, and so is.
There's a lot.
So is Cole. So is Jimmy. Yeah, I mean, it's just,
it's our whole team.
Yes.
I mean, Jesse, as much as I, you know, love how he's playing, love the back behind the back pass yesterday.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. Yes. That's some old school Syracuse stuff right there too.
Yeah, but he does stuff like that, and then it's like, but you can't hold on to the ball,
right?
Because he had four turnovers, and just if anyone comes over and bumps some balls out, right?
Did good on the fouls though, with as physical as that game was.
Yeah.
Down low. Three fouls.
No, I mean, I think they let him play. There wasn't a lot of fouls.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
I guess.
Go ahead.
I guess the issue is, like, the big issue would be, is if Benny actually does take that stride, right? He does step to where,
he's got it in him.
Yeah, me too. I believe he's got the work ethic and he's got the drive. He wants to be there. And I think a lot of that comes down to him thinking that he's going to be an automatic starter next year because everyone's leaving, right? But I think the crux of it is that if he comes back, Benny takes a big jump where it's like, okay, he has to be out on the floor. And now all of a sudden we got two forwards, two or three wing guys coming in from the freshman class, and maybe one or two of them actually overimpresses and like, oh man, like that guy makes our defense way better with Jimmy out there. Like, is he going to take Jimmy out of the starting lineup if there are actually players on the team better? Because, like, this year I can understand because I'm looking at the depth and I understand. Next year, who knows about transfer portal? Who knows who's coming, who's going? But I know we're bringing in a class of, what, five?
Yeah.
And plus, like I said, with Benny hopefully getting better, it's a situation where you don't know how good these guys are going to be. And, you know, that's the fear. The fear is, are they going to be talented enough to actually play and cover the wings and help our defense to where we wish we had Jimmy? But then if Jimmy comes and he plays and then we actually have more talented, athletic, younger players, then are we really going to take Jimmy out of the game and have him come off the bench? Or are we going to have these guys buried in the bench because Jimmy's there for a 6 year and, you know, coach his son type thing?
Well, that's kind of where I'm at. And that's why I'm like, you know, I mean, it just depends on how many go. But to your point about Benny, if he, you know, think he's got a starting spot locked in next year and Jimmy does come back, or, you know, maybe even a couple of them come back. I mean, that could be an issue maybe.
Playing time for the younger guys and then worried about transferring.
Right. And then not only that, but if Benny does get the start, okay, you have that period where he can, you know, he didn't get to do this year. He didn't have the opportunity to be on the floor much when it didn't matter. Not, I don't want to say didn't matter, but when we were playing a lot of non-conference, plus it was a brutal non-conference schedule.
Yeah, normally players like him get a lot more minutes and a lot easier games to be able to get in the flow. And
The Atlantis tournament was just brutal. I mean, you know, so he didn't get a lot of burn. Next year, you know, the situation could be different. He could be getting out there and getting a lot more minutes early in the season. You know what I'm saying?
So, absolutely. And, I mean, even you look at our non-conference, even the normal ones. Normally Benny gets to play 20 minutes against Colgate. This year we lost. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just what it is.
Jeff, flush it. Coach G, flush it. Prep for Pitt. Tyler, coach needs to go. The Boeheim brothers are great basketball players, but simply not gifted enough to compete against top-tier ACC teams. Bleed orange, but I'm ready for a change. That's kind of a big consensus among Orange fans right now. But even when coach is having a decent year and, you know, they just don't like something he's doing, they're calling for his head. So I can't tell if this is legit or if it's not. I mean, I got to trust that the coach knows what the hell he's doing. But to be honest, this year, I've questioned him more this year than normal. And I guess maybe, you know, just because of the impatient, I'm growing impatient this year. I want to see, I feel like I'm watching, it's a Groundhog Day. Like we said last episode, I'm waking up to I Got You, Babe, hitting snooze. And this is the same thing over and over again. Michael, top fan on Facebook. To me, it's clear at this point that the problem with the program over the past several years has been recruiting. You can blame some of that on the sanctions, but losing Hop was the nail in the coffin. I know Hop's team is not doing great this year, and he is on the hot seat in Washington, but wouldn't it feel great to get his Northeast recruiting skills back to the Cuse program as head coach? Look, sanction stuff is done and over. Like, we should not be feeling too many effects from that anymore. And it lasted a lot longer than I thought it would. And I think that I think that now with the way you end one issue and then you go into another issue, the way that the COVID stuff and the transfer portal and things like that, it is hurting Syracuse in basketball and football. It just has. And, you know, I know other teams are feeling it too, but a lot of teams are really benefiting from it. We just haven't been one of those teams. Mike Hopkins. Like, I'd love to see Mike Hopkins. I love Mike Hopkins. I loved him as a kid growing up when he was a player. I loved him as assistant coach. You know, I love his charisma and his character. I think he's a hilarious dude. A great guy. I don't know, man. Is it Mike Hopkins? Does he even want to come back? I mean, didn't he take the job in Washington? Obviously, he was probably a little fed up, but isn't his family there and everything? I mean, I don't know. Would he even want to come back? You know? And I mean, if he does, and then, you know, he has a rough couple of seasons starting off, I mean, is everybody going to call for his head too? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the Mike Hopkins thing. I don't know how I feel about the Jerry McNamara thing. I just don't know. I gotta be honest.
We don't really know. And that's the thing is I wish it would be a situation where, you know, it was timely that when Jim's, then Mike Hopkins kind of loses his, I mean, I don't wish him to lose his job, but again, it was kind of a thing that we talked about when he coached for those 10 games where Boeheim was suspended way back when, right? He didn't do a great job coaching.
No.
And even Washington, he's out recruited Boeheim since he's gone to Washington. He's sent players to the NBA, more players, I think, to the NBA than Syracuse has since he's gone to Washington. And they don't win. I think they won the first year he was there.
Yeah, he did really good the first year. It was a huge turnaround for that Washington program. And then
first
after
and second
that
year were in, and then now it's been downhill. And I don't think it's the talent. But you know, I would love to have him back. I just don't think that you hire him back is that. You hire him back as an assistant to get him back on your
in
team
the recruiting.
As an assistant coach so that he can recruit. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And start bringing in the talent.
Because that's where he's – that's his strong suit. His strong suit's recruiting. He's recruited the players where he's at. He recruited players here. You know, it's
right. – And we're never going to know, but you're talking about Coach K getting out, right? And who else? Roy Williams got out of the – right? I don't know if these older guys – again, I mean, it's got to be more difficult trying to actually like understand, you know, the kids nowadays and how to teach them and how to, you know, and Boeheim's one of those no nonsense guys, you know, and we don't know if it's a situation where we just don't even get certain recruits because of that certain situation, right? And we don't know how that really goes when it comes to recruiting and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, I mean, bringing him in and helping recruiting would be fine. But, I mean, if we're going to give another Syracuse family member, you know, the chance, I'd like to see somebody else get a shot like GMAC or Red Autry before Hopkins just comes back and is a coach after he just kind of didn't do great at Washington.
Greg on Facebook, this is exactly what I expected from the family and friends in intramural team. Maybe Julie will get some burn next game. What do you think, Joe? You think we can put Julie out there? She could maybe jump ball or something? I don't know.
I read that today. That was pretty funny.
Matthew, can't bring your son's AAU team to Cameron and expect to be competitive. Okay, those two guys. Look, one from Twitter. Twitter was mostly memes and snark. At Roger Clark 41, didn't seem prepared, didn't execute, shooting horrific, still not going out and covering the three-pointer. Kind of sad they didn't give him more of a run. And that's exactly why I was so frustrated. I at least wanted it to be. And now if it was close and they still lost, I'd have something else to complain about. But I at least wanted to be competitive. At the end of the day, I just wanted to be competitive, plain and simple. And You know, they just weren't. And it was disappointing. But I got to be honest, it was wishful thinking on my part that I thought that they were going to be. It was more hope than it was reality. And it is what it is. So we'll move on to Pitt, Joe, playing this Tuesday, an 8 o'clock game, as I mentioned earlier. The all-time series between Pitt and... It's not terrible. The all-time series between Pitt and Syracuse sits at 74-47 in favor of the Orange, the last game of which was played on January 1st of this year, if you remember correctly. Syracuse with the W, 77-61. Gerard Boeheim, we know the starters. Buddy Boeheim with 24 points. I think it's fair to say that as bad as we're all feeling at this stage of the season as Syracuse fans, Pitt fans are probably feeling it even worse than us, to say the least. Pitt is on the struggle bus. And, I mean, they're in the back of this. We're on the struggle bus, too, but they're in the back of the damn thing. Pitt is, KenPom has them at 196 with an adjusted offense of, get this, 237th and an adjusted defense of 153. Since playing Syracuse, Pitt did manage to beat a decent Louisville team, 65-53. They're 1-1 with Louisville this season. They've already played them twice. But currently on a two-game skid right now. They lost against Clemson. They got shellacked by Clemson yesterday, 75-48. And before that was a close one with Virginia. Might be closer on the scoreboard. I actually didn't watch that game. But might be closer than really what it was, 66-61. And then the win against Louisville. They beat Boston College. And what was their early one? Oh, lost. So they lost to Virginia twice is what it was. Let's see. Pitt, at this point in the season, they're only averaging 62 points a game. They have a 30% three-point percentage and a 41% overall field goal percentage. They're 193rd in the net ranking, making this a quad three game on the road, which is unheard of. That's how bad they are. Joe, that's how bad they are, right? So Syracuse has to win this game. Syracuse is actually 3-3 in quad three games so far this season, but the way Pitt's playing right now, this could be, if they did lose, I mean, by the end of the season, the way Pitt's trending right now, this could be a quad four game. So, got to go on the road to Pitt and win this game.
Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely a must win. And, you know, the one thing that really kind of scares me sometimes is, you know, just already playing a team then having to go to their house. And, you know, I checked it out. Pittsburgh, definitely not the greatest team. We know that they struggle to shoot and, you know, they've already seen our zone, so they're going to have a little bit of a leg up. I expect them to know a little bit more, with the familiarity, but playing at home this year, in conference so far, they had a 1-point loss in Notre Dame, who's the number 4 team in the ACC right now. They beat Boston College by 2, they beat Louisville by 8, and then they had a lost by 5 against Virginia. So seems to me like at home they play a little bit tougher. I've had closer games. And really it's just, you know, the usual suspects when it comes to their starters. We talked about Mahamadou Gaye, who's really long, long arm, 6'9", 210. He was a transfer from Stony Brook. So he's a senior. And he's given them some, you know, he actually had an all right game when he played against us. He had some sneaky plays around the rim and everything like that. But John Hewley, he had a really bad game. He got in foul trouble and when he played us the first time. I look for him to try to, you know, come back and have a better game this time. And Femi Odukali is really just a defender. Played good last time as far as, you know, defending Buddy and Joe, and then Jamarius Burton is the other guard, 6'4 senior, that played. He had 20 points last game, and then they made a change since we played. Jeffress was a starter, and they switched it out to Azia Kudu, who's a 6-foot senior guard as well. So this is a team, like we saw last time, they're going to play tough D. But I think last time when we played them, they struggled to score. Their big man got into some foul trouble, and I think that just kind of had some frustration, and I think that bled over on the offense into the defense, and we started to score. Plus, we shot really well too. So, to your point, we can't let the Duke game, like, we can't look past in the past. We got to look forward. We can't lose this game and think that anything positive is going to happen in this season at all. So that's really all I got. I can't really go too much.
This is our second time playing them. We don't expect a full rundown. Yeah. Like, we've already seen them at this point in the season. It's ACC basketball. If you're a Syracuse fan, you're probably watching some ACC basketball. If you've seen them play, you know exactly how they are. Joe mentions they're a little bit better at home. Okay. All right. Well, all right. I'll take that into consideration. But all in all, this team's struggling. I think Jeff Cable is a good coach. You know, he comes from the blue bloodline. So, you know, he was with Coach K for how many years? I mean, you know, they had a lot of guys leave. We all know, we talked about that. And they're just struggling. He's just trying to put something together. He's just trying to get what he can with what he's got, that being Jeff Capel. So with that said, Joe, you did take the Duke game. We both chose Duke to win, but I overshot the score. I thought Duke would have scored more than they did, actually. So that's one. I mean, they didn't break 80. So there's that. That's some good news. But you're up, Joe. What do you got for Syracuse at Pitt this Tuesday at 8 o'clock?
I'm not going to go too deep into it. Syracuse 72, Pittsburgh 65. I think it'll be close.
Okay.
You think it'll be close? You'll have a better game. They'll score a little bit. And it'll be a closer game. So it'll definitely, you know, it'll be the end of the second half. You're worried about us blowing it. It'll be close, but I think we'll take it.
Well, I'm a little higher. I shot a little higher. Okay. So with that said, I think Pitt does a little better on offense. I think at home, I think they can accomplish that. Like I said, what did I say their average was? 62 points a game. They scored 61 against us last time, so right at their average. You know, it doesn't take much more to play in Syracuse. They know what they got to do. If they get someone that gets hot, then, I mean, they're going to score some points. And like Coach said, someone's going to be shooting those threes and someone's going to be making them. You can almost count on that against any team, every game. So with that said, I'm going Cuse winning this thing 84-72. I don't think it's okay. It might be close in the first half, but, you know, I don't see the second half being anything to bite nails on. So anyways.
Yeah. What do you think?
And by the way,
any positives take out of this?
Out of the Duke game?
Not out of the Duke game, just out of, I mean, I'm, because I'm looking forward in, like, I mean,
the Pitt game? You're talking about
not just the Pitt game. I'm just saying, like, I'm looking at, like, the next eight games, and
we, like, got some struggling teams in there.
There's a lot of struggling teams. Louisville's been a struggling team. I mean, you're talking about
NC State just lost against a not so great team. Who the hell was it?
Pittsburgh and Georgia Tech. And Virginia Tech and NC State are all below us. But Boston College is literally right pretty much where we are.
Oh, that's right. NC State beat UVA, by the way. That was the upset.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Louisville's not that great. So you're looking at it, and, I mean, when you look at – we're 3-5 in the ACC. Well, five out of those eight games have been against top five, top six, you know, top five opponents. And they're the top five in the ACC.
Yeah.
You look at Duke and Florida State and Miami, Notre Dame, we haven't played yet, and then Wake Forest. So we have Wake Forest after Pittsburgh, but after that, we're playing again. We got seven out of the next eight games where we're playing bottom half teams in the ACC. So these are definitely all going to be winnable games. And I mean, what if I told you that we were, you know, 2 weeks from now, we were going to be, or 3 weeks from now, we're going to be 16-11 or 17-10 if we get that at home revenge game against Wake Forest.
All the way up to Notre Dame looks
looks not that bad. Like, looks winnable. I mean obviously we have our deficiencies, but obviously all these teams do too. So I mean it's still not out of the realm of possibility. I want there to be a little bit of positivity of the fact that we got to understand the talent that we've been playing. I mean, it's one of the probably hardest non-conferences that I can even remember in my lifetime. And then on top of the fact of, you know, five out of the eight games we played are against the top four, top five in this conference right now. So
we got the – go ahead.
No doubt the season's going to come down to those last four games where you're talking about at Notre Dame, home against Duke, at North Carolina, and then home against Miami. That's you're talking about those mention. Could all be four quad one games in a row to end.
They are so going to those are going to be quad one games.
Yeah, most likely, right? Yeah. So barring disaster. So you're talking about
well, Miami right now Miami's on the fence, I think, to be a quad one game, but go on, because it's at home.
Well, but I mean, we don't. That's the one thing, right? But if they continue on the trajectory they're at, you know, the last game of the season, most likely that should be that. So realistically, you know, it's still going to come down to those four last quad one games in the ACC tournament. But there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, we got the next eight games, string of games, that can 100% get us back in this thing.
Yeah, they could go on a string of wins. You know, we look at Wake Forest. That was an overtime loss last time out. So it's going to be Pitt, Wake Forest, NC State's a beatable team. Louisville's a beatable team. Boston College, obviously. Virginia Tech struggling. Then Boston College again. And then Georgia Tech. So, you know.
I mean, Wake Forest is the toughest one in there. And it's a home game.
It is.
And, you know. So, again, I mean, but Wake Forest did just smash North Carolina yesterday.
They did, but North Carolina, sometimes they just look
something
terrible.
Something with them. Oh, and then, yeah, that's the thing is they're 12-6. I was going to say right now there looks like there's about six teams in the top of the standings that looks like they might be getting a solid chance of getting in the tournament. But North Carolina, if they don't do something fast, they might lose that.
That's something. They're missing something
once
in a while.
Last two games have been really, really bad. Yeah. But they're still 12-6 overall, so we'll see.
Blowouts.
But you know, again, you don't want to give the. Again, I just still want to stay positive. I don't want people to think that the season is lost. It's just the problem is with this team this year is that they've gotten the fan base used to disappointment. So as much as we can sit here and say that the next seven out of the eight games is. You know, this and that. I mean, we've struggled with Virginia Tech, and we've struggled at NC State, and that's at NC State. And we go to that, actually. But, yeah, I mean, it's still right there. We have a schedule right there for the tank. And, I mean, we got a lot of teams coming up that are not as good as most of the schedule that we've played so far.
Yeah. So, where's our next break? Next break is after Virginia Tech. So...
Yeah. A little week break.
Yeah.
Right now we're pretty much playing.
We actually have a Wednesday game, the NC State game. Usually we're Tuesday, Saturday, but there's a Wednesday game in NC State, and then we're playing on a Monday too. After another break. No, sorry, it's a 2-day break. After Boston College playing Georgia Tech at home, 2-day turnaround. Mm-hmm. So I think those were squeezed in.
The Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Georgia Tech and Notre Dame, because those were the makeup games. That was during the COVID pause. That's why that turnaround's so quick. It's actually 2-day turnaround from Boston College to Georgia Tech, then another 2-day turnaround from Georgia Tech to Notre Dame. So that's kind of a gauntlet right there. Yeah. That looks like that would have probably been a week break and they just squeezed those games in. Been nice if they just took one of those games and I guess they probably couldn't because
squeezed it in North Carolina, Miami. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, it is what it is. But, all right. So, a little bit to look forward to coming up. All right. We can breathe a little bit easier, I think, heading into these next eight games, and we'll see what they can get. If they can get if they can get 6-2, that's looking up. And, you know, I'm here. This is where I am right now. I just don't want to finish below 500. That's where I am. That's my whole life. Yeah. Syracuse has never finished.
We need to go on a run here. Like you said, 6-2 gives us to 15-12, and that's going to put us firmly on the bubble. I mean, every year, it also depends on how many good teams are out there, right? And all year I've been talking about how they're talking about the bubble's going to be weak. The bubble's going to be weak. So let's just, you know, we've been playing, I think, better than what our record is, and let's see what this next eight games do for us, man. You know, yeah. I mean, it's the next month. Let's see what happens.
Yep. All right, that is going to do it for us today. Look, we'll be back here on Wednesday to discuss, hopefully, a win over Pitt at Pitt. So we appreciate all of you for joining us, hanging out with us today after the Duke loss. Heads up, go Orange. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.